give us the heads up.
That's good.
Good to go. Oh, well, I'd like to declare the meeting open at 4:31, July Ordinary Council meeting. So welcome to you all. And in attendance, we have Councillor Barrett, Councillor Robinson, Councillor White, Councillor Letta, Councillor Penny, Councillor Dewar by electronic means, Councillor Witham with our staff. We have Karen Callahan, Chief Executive Officer, Dee Sweeney, Deputy Chief Executive, Peter Lahoff, Manager of Works, Pam Hull, Strategic Support and Projects Officer, Anna Fernandez, Governance and Compliance Officer. Is Anna still here by two teams?
Yes,
electronic means. Leave of absence, Neil? No apologies. Item three, disclosure of interest. There's no disclosure of interest for the meeting? No. Item four, response to previous public questions taken on notice is nil. Five, public question time is nil. We're doing a presentation. Item six, presentations, petitions, deputations. So we do have a presentation today from the Greenhill Village Cooperative. We have Scott Thompson here, who's the Greenhill Village Cooperative Chair, and we have Tyler and Lucas from Urban Collectives, basically looking to give us an update and some current information regarding the Broomhill Village Cooperative, the Broomhill Pub. So I'll happily hand over to you three and however you would like to present.
Yes, thank you very much. We haven't got a lot of time.
No.
We've done a bit of a turn lately. Cutting a long story short, with the development of the Broomhill Hotel, it was going to cost $4 million, which we were comfortable with, considering probably every second hotel in the whole southwest region is owned by a community, and the only way of getting a substantial amount of money was from the government, which we weren't. It didn't sit well with me for a project that, you know, we've still got to get confidence it's even going to work. So we've brought Urban Collectives in to put a commercial slant on the whole thing, and the goalposts are changing all the time because it's all we're learning, and Tyler's doing a lot of investigating. There's a lot more to come, but this is an initial sort of the beginnings, I suppose.
Stuff.
Thank you.
Tyler.
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you all. So I guess we've been engaged to do an investigation of strategy, and Scott did say it's moving feast at the moment. As we do our investigation, we are pivoting and working out what's commercially viable, what the community wants. We've got a couple of surveys out there on work accommodation, so that's coming back. We're hoping to have more of them today. We've got about six or seven back. We're hoping to have about 20. We did a meeting on Tuesday night, which was our second month starting now, which is all around activation of the site. So, you know, who we want to see in there, how we're going to do it, and those initial steps to progressing into the larger concept. But if you want to click, are we clicking? There's only a couple of slides. Thank you so much. So, that's who we are with Urban Collectives. We do specialise in strategies with local governments, communities, and commercial industry professionals. So, tying all of those three together is really, really important. And we've done it a couple of times with City of Gosnells, we're still in an active investigation with. City of Bayswater around our new town centre, we've been working there for about 8 years now. And it is taking all those things into capacity. Our approach, as you can kind of see there, I'm not going to read it out. We can definitely send this presentation out to you guys as well. So I'm going to click again. Three different components of this site that we've looked at. It's around activating the current building. When Scott brought us the original plans, you just look at, it looks great. If you can get the $4 million to pump this up, but is there going to be enough usability? Is there going to be enough people around? Is it going to actually activate? Are we build it and they will come, or should we be working with the community to grow something that transitions over time and is actually growing from, I guess, true core of the location? So activation is a big one for us, and probably work accommodation slash the backpacker component for where the actual building is at. That's probably the only likely accommodation you're going to be able to meet is a necessity, is a lower cost, and then you can stand from there. The residential subdivision is something that we're looking at for the rear of the building, and obviously the town planning component that you guys are researching around your town centres and in both locations, both town centres, is going to be very important. And then from that, from the development, we're looking at the utilities. So how's the power going? How's the sewer? What options we have in our site, and then also the greater area as well. And you know, we've identified Sheridan Gardens as a really useful component to roll out into, rather than having some kind of beer garden or activation at the back of the building, which no one can see as they drive through. Really kind of connecting the hall and the hotel together, and having something out there that kind of engages with the street. And so when people are driving by, they can see there's a lot of activation things going on, and that there might be an event or something. So now we'll go through. So where we are now is community activation. We've got planning consultants that I work with on a couple of other projects that are giving us some initial concept and advice. We've done the site inspection, which we're going to do with the community again tomorrow. So we're doing a 9 a.m. run through, where people can come down and ask some questions. We can really engage with people who want to be actively influencing the location.
You're all welcome.
Yeah, 9 o'clock tomorrow if you want to meet on site, bring more questions and do a walkthrough. Next slide. So what we're asking from the council, and we're not here asking anything specific, I think it's about starting the conversation. Sheridan Gardens, there are three different ways that I've worked out how you can work with local government sites. It's first is doing a lease over the property, second is doing a joint venture with the council, and third is bequeathing the area to the co-op, or the co-op effectively purchasing it. There's all different legislation and requirements when we're coming to liquor licensing and rules, so we obviously want to go through that governance and understand what the implications are to the council and the Greater Shire, and what the implications are to the co-op. So, yeah, governance around how that area is structured is going to be really important, and I think that's a conversation that we can have now. Any questions to that? The kitchen, we've identified that the pub isn't going to have an active kitchen for probably 12 months while we're building up the accommodation. So to work with the accommodation for meals, we're thinking that we'll do or book the kitchen for set times during the week to assist the accommodation in having meals. And then we're looking at potentially doing an event, like kind of once a month, like a pop-up event, which could then act as a donations or as a revenue generating thing to then facilitate the pub's redevelopment and renovation. So it's kind of like how we work is you want to keep your cash flow churning over and build it through, and then the cash flow coming in to basically pay for any expansions and any upgrades. And we're not going rattling a tin for $4 million, where we're doing incremental stages and then making sure that people are engaged with it as well. And then the last one is the town planning. So my background is property development. And when I look at town centres, like I said, I've been quite heavily involved in the Bayswater town centre, pre-development WA. We've been involved in a lot of early stage strategy work for town centres. And I think that where it's at the moment, if we were to, you know, get sewer or we were to get power, we may as well be looking at it for the wider area rather than just this site. And I feel that the governance, the grants and support from government, it's likely to come from utilities rather than from renovating the pub. So I think that's where we can really tap on the shoulder of you know, the similar to the royalties for regions component. And then get some more facilities to do that. And then next one. That's it. So yeah, as we said at the bottom, we're staying at Caravan Park tonight. We've booked one of the accommodations over Broome Hill to check that out. And then we will be in the hotel, the Templop Hotel. We've got Maxine's details. So we are going to actually try and engage with them around everything we do at Broome Hill to actually connect the similar kind of investigations with Templop. So hopefully they'll be able to work together and we can provide both of this information. So any questions?
Okay. Any Questions from the floor? No.
How are you received at Tambler?
I haven't answered my calls yet, so we'll see how that goes. A few text messages, a couple calls back and forth, but yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And you definitely think you've got dinner there tonight?
I hope so. Is that not a thing? It's not a Friday night thing?
No.
You're lucky to get a meal at any time.
There you go. Well, we'll pop in for a beer.
Water? Oh, is that? Can we get one of those there?
Bang on the door?
Yeah.
BYO? All right.
Just remember.
Yep.
How many years?
Craig,
any comments from you, Craig? Councillor Dewar?
Just without sounding too blunt, Tyrone Lucas, and not knowing your business, how do you guys actually, I guess, make a quid out of it?
So the co-op has hired us.
Sorry, what was that?
The co-op has engaged us. So if you look,
right, so you'd be like a one-off fee. Like, where does the ongoing funding then come from to get everything started?
That's our job to flush that out. So,
right, so you'll get that from wherever?
From wherever. It could be commercial, could be grants, could be it's self generating revenue from the accommodation. So, yeah, that's part of the investigation. If you actually look at the co-op's Facebook page, all the documentation for our engagement is actually on there.
Right, okay. Right, thank you.
That would be quite helpful, yeah, looking through that.
Yeah.
So is there any reason why you've gone to the accommodation first rather than the kitchen? Because
Low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
It's very quick to be able to get. And then the workers that we're bringing in that are going to be residing there, generally the backpackers working holidays 88 days and they need to come out here. So we'll be engaging with the greater community to be employing them. So then we should be able to have 10 to 20 backpackers in there initially. Then what we'll be doing is utilising their services to then improve the pub.
So just talk about that more, because you haven't actually explained what your short-term plan is.
Yes.
This is you're an investigating...
Yeah, so we're still one-to-one, effectively, and it's just flushing out exactly how I see it working. Before, it was bringing in an operator to lease the entire building. I just, like the ones we're engaging with, there's too much being given up by the co-op and too much control being given away, and the conversation always leads to, oh, we'll buy it off the co-op. And so I don't think that's going to be the right move. I think the co-op needs to hold a bit of custodians of the site no matter what, and then either whether it be leased or whether it be managed, the two options, and I think how we're going to move to make sure the co-op doesn't have any governance issues or liability issues, there'll be an entity that leases the building, that brings the backpackers in, that then goes out to the wider community for work, but then when they come back, maybe they're doing 3 days a week in the wider community, maybe they're doing 2 days a week at the pub, and they're actually working at the little nuances, and then that's a three-month program. And then, yeah, we're getting revenue from the accommodation while we've also got the workers, and then if we're doing a couple of events, one event cheap month or the 3 months, there should be enough revenue to get it to a point. And with the co-op has a little bit of money there at the moment, so we'll do budgets for larger things. The co-op wouldn't be providing funding for little incidentals, like, you know, a little bit of work here and there. That would be providing funding for the big items that actually add value, so it would just be a net zero on their balance sheet. So if it's a big bar area, then that's 15 grand. Yep, cool. But tick, that's added 15 grand to the value of the bar.
So we're not... So backpackers are the easy target market at the moment. I think that's what Tyler and Lucas are focusing on. There are people interested, there are people out there which probably were not there a few years ago to actually operate the facility. And the priority would be accommodation and not doing too much to the existing outstanding. Tyler, we had plans to pull half of it down. But Tyler just said it's too expensive. It's the bones are there. It's best just to stick with what's there, and we build from the ground up and And if there's external accommodation or, you know, additional accommodation outside with, which we remove from downstairs, that's just, that's another phase down the track.
Activating that front, yeah, activating that front section is the key, and really just utilising that, and the accommodation that's already there, and backpackers are really happy to kind of come and live in that, and then they're going to actually make it better as well.
Yeah.
And these are not backpackers.
Yeah, working holidays.
These are professional backpackers, yeah, with skills.
Yeah.
We're not just putting anyone in there.
No, we've got a big list. I posted a job advert on that. We've got a big list of like 30 couples that are actually applying for it. So
you've been engaged by the co-op for a finite time at this point?
Yes, yeah, so it's a four-month project.
And then you'll have a report?
Report back then, yes. Yeah, so half up front, half at the end, and then we just work through 4 months. We've got a few key indicators that we're going to hit and a few key outcomes, and it's a step-by-step that we go through with the community to take everyone along the ride. The worst thing I've seen is a consultant coming in with an answer and nobody kind of working through the process. But we're going down every rabbit hole at the moment, and we'll come to a conclusion with the community working.
So the co-op's been set. The co-op's made up of seven directors. The board. But we had our first meeting maybe 6 weeks ago, and we might have had a bit less than 20 odd there. Then we've had our second meeting only a couple of days ago. There was about 20 there, and so the plan is to have monthly meetings at this stage with Tyler, so you'll get regular updates as it progresses. So we've gone beyond the board now. We're welcoming anyone, members and non-members, to contribute, because it's very important we liaise with the community.
So at this stage, it's all 4 months, and then that potentially could get revisited depending on where things are sitting at the end of that 4 month period.
It would be a different structure and setup and scope, because going through those set scopes, and then we have an outcome, and then from there, my thought is that there will be an entity, whether it be us or another entity, that actually takes over the lease of the property, so then liability and everything is taken away from the co-op. But there are set parameters, because the co-op is the custodians of the site, and then that leaseholding will then do all the active stuff.
I see. Yeah.
So the
and then that lease will report back every month.
The survey that's gone out now, that's more just trying to get a gauge of the demand for backpackers.
Yeah, which is really helpful. It's very detailed. It gets on the Facebook page. It's really detailed about when they require them, how much, what they're prepared to spend, what accommodation they expect. So if I can get 10 to 20 of those, I'll be pretty happy. And then we just tap a few people on the shoulder to commit to that now, rather than, you know, oh, if it's there, it's there. We can line up the backpackers that actually connect up with those timeframes. And it's just, it's already positioned there, and then you've got effectively 20 people already in the property ready to go straight away.
Yeah, because if it gets sort of some movement or impetus legs, it's going to take some rather intense management, isn't it, to backpacking, coming and going, people, it's going to take some reasonable management, isn't it?
It'll be a 3 month stint, because the 88 days, and we'll have a liaison, so a community, call them a general manager, that's going to manage the site, and then we'll have effectively a couple that's responsible for the inner workings, and then they're liaising to each other, and then we're effectively the board or the directors over both those. So just doing the governance is really what we can specialise in, and it's just staging those levels of risk without just taking it all on for one person.
We do have a little bit of experience with backpackers, so we were running our own semi-like hostel. I think we had 12 beds at one point, and in terms of what you think it takes to manage it, these days what was the most difficult was managing bookings at one point. But now the systems have gotten so advanced that once you put the software in place, it's not too cumbersome. So we'd say having a live-in staff there, these backpackers, they probably wouldn't be spending too much time on actually managing the bookings and things like that. It'd be more about making improvements in the short term while they're there, hence that 3 month kind of window we're looking at getting the accommodation up to a point where it's feeding renovations for the bar, kitchen, and the other components of the actual hotel. So that's
yeah. That's interesting. We are very much in the digital world, aren't we? Councillor Penny?
Tyler, earlier on in the engagement with Urban Collectives, there was talk of more long-term accommodation. Is it worth talking about that? Is that still part of the scope? Or?
Yeah, but probably not this meeting. That'll be next one. Yeah, we really want to nut out exactly how the activation, this first accommodation, is going to sit, and then that second accommodation at the back. I'm doing exactly what we spoke about on site. I'm doing that exact thing in South Perth, where it's a unit trust that buys one lot and then does a construction and then breaks it up into individual unit entitlements. So we're already mapping that out, and I do think it's a good conversation for the next stage, but there's two pivotal points, which are sewer and power. And they're the two things that we're already having a conversation with here. So I'm already thinking next 10 steps, but the baby steps here are going to require those things. And if we can't do those things, then that will dictate the size of the development or the subdivision or the extra accommodation.
That'll blow councillors' minds. So we'll be here for an hour if we open that can.
I understand, but that's when you're talking about it's one thing, but accommodation in town, like permanent living accommodation, is something that all shires need.
Yeah. We've just done a trip from Broome, Derby, Port Hedland, Newman, QQ Cabalda, and we're actually working on behalf of a syndicate to buy 9 new regional sites off one entity, the Woolworths. They've got accommodation, they've got all these things, so the stuff we're doing there actually works very well for what we're doing here, and it just, it connects really easily.
So we're about to engage, we'll find a local, what are we calling them, a liaison?
Liaison.
For a couple of people in mind, but we need to find someone just to get on the phone and stir and basically do a verbal survey, I suppose.
Early days. And if there's any questions or queries you guys have, our details, so feel free to phone or email. But we'll keep you in the loop of the stuff we're doing. And Karen and I are speaking regularly in regards to locations that we're thinking of, effluent disposal things and power grids and stuff like that. So that's all high in the sky. We've got to do those baby steps with accommodation. What do we have here now? Well, we have really nice gardens that we could activate. We have a really nice hall that we could connect up, and we have some accommodation that's really easy to get some people into. And it will be a progress thing.
Okay.
Cool.
Very good.
Thanks so much.
Good for now. Yep. Okay, well, on that note, I'll say thank you very much. That's very good. That's some interesting ideas and enlightening us all. So, as I say, you're there tomorrow morning at
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, yeah. Welcome to come.
Okay. Well, thank you, Scott. Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks
for
your
presentation.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so item 7, application for a leave of absence. Is there any?
I just wanted to make a note that I will be attending the next meeting by
electronic.
Yep.
Okay, item 8.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Councillor Robinson intends to attend the next meeting in August by electronic means.
Oh, right. Yes. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just ask Anna if you can't hear something properly or correctly.
Thank you.
Yep.
Will do. Yep.
Yep. Item 8, did I say? Announcements from the presiding members, Neil. 9, confirmation of minutes. So 9.1... We have the recommendation of the Ordinary Council meeting 18th of June 2026 that the minutes of the Ordinary Meeting of Council held on 18th of June 2026 be confirmed as a true and accurate record of proceedings. Over for that. Councillor Robinson, second. Councillor Witham. All those in favour? Yeah, that's unanimous. 7 of us, yeah. Okay, item 10, Broom Hill Tambuck Point of Difference, Neil. 11, Pipula 2, Broom Hill Tambuck Economy, 11.1, Proposed Council Policy, Camping and Temporary Accommodation. I have a mover, please. Councillor Letter, seconded Councillor Penny. Either of you like to speak for the item?
I made a comment when it was a draft that it's a step forward to curbing some of the strange habitations, in particularly in Broom Hill. It's a good step forward.
Yeah. Anyone speaking against the item? Oh, sorry, Craig.
I've just got a question, Doug, on it overall. How do we actually deal with the existing peoples, if you like?
Through the chair, Councillor Dewar, we can't retrospectively apply the policy. However, yeah, under the legislation, we will continue to ensure compliance.
Okay, yep. So is that saying the existing there will fall outside of this, or will there be a time when this will even come in to affect those people?
Sorry, could you clarify, Councillor Dewar?
Yes, in saying that, let's say this does pass, will there be a date or a time when the existing people will come under these new rules, or they'll always fall outside of these new rules?
No, sorry. So their existing arrangements will not fall into the policy, and there won't be any tenure for that. So the arrangements as it stands, we can't apply the policy retrospectively. But in saying that, the issues that we do have at the moment, we can still apply the legislation. No, it's not based on tenure, but if there is additional issues or new issues that come from those existing occupants, then we can apply the policy. But as the issues stand at this point in time, with those certain individuals, this won't apply in any time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Councillor Dewar. Good point. And that's where it sits.
Yep.
Okay, no one against the item? No, okay, well, I'll put the recommendation forward that the council adopts the council policy, camping and temporary accommodation, as presented. All those in favour? 7 million. Start doing that. Okay, 11.2, interim audit management letter and significant matter for the year ended 30th of June 2026. I'll ask for a mover. Councillor Penny, seconded Councillor Robinson. Did either of you have any comment on the item?
We had the Audit and Risk Improvement Committee meeting prior to this meeting starting, and I think the areas of non-compliance, the changes that are going to be made, and I'm fairly confident that we won't end up reoffending in those areas.
Yeah. Anyone was, or Dave, did you have any comment to make as the author?
No, just that there was the three items that were raised. So the one in regards to procurement, which was the significant finding, and then the excess user and the master file. But as Councillor Penny has said, we have put actions into place to strengthen our governance and processes around those areas.
Okay, thank you. On that, I'll put the recommendation forward that the council, one, receives the interim audit management letter for the year ended 30th of June 2026 as presented at attachment 11.2.1. Two, notes the actions taken are required by the Chief Executive Officer to address the matters raised. Three, receives a report on the significant matter, procurement and purchases, at attachment 11.2.2, raised in the 2025-26 interim audit, pursuant to section 7.12A of the Local Government Act 1995. Four, authorises the Chief Executive Officer to submit the report required under section 7.12A4 of the Local Government Act 1995 to the Minister for Local Government, as presented at attachment 11.2.2, and five, notes that a copy of the report will be published on the Shire's official website within 14 days of it being given to the Minister, in accordance with section 7.12A5 of the Local Government Act 1995. All those in favour of the recommendation? 7-0. 11.3, Compliance Audit Return 2025. I'll ask for a mover. Councillor Letter, seconded Councillor Penny. Would you like to speak to the item? No? Anyone? No, it's just you put the recommendation forward. That the Council, one, adopts the completed local government compliance audit return for the period 1st of January 2025 to 31st December 2025, and the Shire President and Chief Executive Officer be authorised to sign the joint certification and return to the Local Government Inspectorate, Department of Local Government, Industry Regulation and Safety as required. And two, notes the non-compliance matter and request that the Chief Executive Officer ensure the areas of non-compliance are addressed. All those in favour? That's past 7-0. Item 12, Key Pillar 3, Broomhill Tamalup Lifestyle, 12.1, Bloom Festival Event, request to waive or higher fees. Can I ask for a mover? Councillor Robinson, a seconder. Councillor Witham. Either of you like to speak to the item? No, that's fine. Is there anyone that wants to speak against the item? No. Pam, you're the author. Did you have any comment to make?
No, through the chair. No. The item's really about a lack of clarity in how hall hire fees and charges. It states a hall hire fee, which we would assume relates to a single day's booking, but it's actually not clear. So we'll do some more work around that internally, and this item just seeks the council's approval to waive those fees.
Yeah.
In this instance.
I know it's out of the attachment, so we have some clarification on that.
Yeah.
Would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay, I'll put the recommendation forward that the Council, one, approves the waiver of the Broomhill Hall hire fee for the Community Art and Crafts Exhibition and Workshops to be held from 13 to 20 September 2026 as part of the 2026 Bloom Festival, and two, notes that for the purpose of this event, the waiver is considered to apply to the full booking period 13 to 20 September 2026. And three, notes the organisers are required to comply with the Shire's standard conditions of hire, including payment of applicable bonds. So, all those in favour? It's past 7-0. Thank you. Item 13, Key Pillar 4, Broomhill Tamalup Shire Support, 13.1, monthly list of payments, June 2026. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Letter, a second. Councillor Penny. Any comments to the item? Councillor Dewar?
I was just going to make a comment, but no, guys, no doubt you guys have discussed it early today, but I guess just the cost that we've put into water again and whatever, that's two quite substantial payments there once again, yeah.
Yes, yeah, noted. I think I'll put the recommendation forward that in accordance with regulations 13(1) and 13(a)(1) of the Local Government Financial Management Regulations 1996, the list of payments paid under delegated authority or with Shire purchasing cards for June 2026 be endorsed, comprising municipal fund check, electronic funds transfer, EFT, and direct debit payments totalling $1,341,511.40 and credit purchasing card payments totaling $3,366.32. All those in favour? It's passed 7-0. 13.2, financial statements June 2026. Mover, please. Councillor Penny, seconded. Councillor Robinson,